one of the best coverages of population is in this week's Economist magazine. As well, in their superb science section, the following story and headline on climate comes up, and I quote, "A new analysis of the temperature record leaves little room for doubters. The world is warming." And the team who did that survey, all previously sceptics, include the latest Nobel Prize winner, Saul Perlmutter, who won the prize with our own Brian Schmidt. Anyway, one of Brian Schmidt's young colleagues touring Australia is Tamara Davis, a future fellow at the University of Queensland. She's been trying to explain to the public what's behind the expanding universe. Dark energy.
I'm doing a tour of Australia at the moment, giving lectures as the Australian Institute of Physics, Women in Physics lecturer for 2011.
On what?
So I'm talking about the dark side of the universe, which is what I research. I look at the reason for the acceleration of the expansion of the universe.
So this is the dark energy, not the dark matter.
Yeah, so I mostly started looking at dark energy because I started working on supernova and trying to figure out what the dark energy could be. Perhaps some form of vacuum energy or something that has negative pressure or some sort of anti-gravity out there, which would be really strange. But it also could be that our theory of gravity might need revision. And so I test other theories of gravity, things that are derived from string theory and quantum theories of gravity, to see if they can improve on Einstein's theory of general relativity.
And when you tell the public that, do they look at you boggled or do they think it's wonderful?
There's a lot of blank stares. And then I explain why this is exciting. And that's, well, partially because if we've discovered something that has anti-gravity properties, how cool is that if we can harness it? I mean, you know, the ability to manipulate gravity would be wonderful.
The only problem I have with this is that as the universe expands, so the amount of dark energy expands as well. And as you said, it's in a vacuum, so you've got something in nothing getting bigger. Okay?
Yes, it's very, very complex. But we try to measure whether the dark energy is changing with time or whether it's constant. And it appears to be like this constant background acceleration that is competing with the attractive force of gravity due to all the matter around. But because the universe is expanding, the matter dilutes and the attractive force of gravity becomes less effective. Meanwhile, the vacuum energy or the dark energy just stays constant. And so early in the universe, the matter was winning and gravity was winning. The universe was actually slowing down. But as it expanded, eventually the dark energy took over, and now that's the dominant thing, and the universe is accelerating away.
And in fact, the amount of normal matter, like the chairs we're sitting on here in Parliament House, I mean, that's only 4%.
I know. The dark matter has been a long-standing conundrum. It was discovered first because we realised that galaxies were spinning too fast to hold themselves together against gravity. The dark energy is arguably quite a bit stranger because it pushes, and that really goes against everything that we thought we knew about how gravity works.
How do you study this in Queensland, where you actually have a laboratory?
So I moved back to Australia after working on supernovae for a while, both in Canberra and in Copenhagen in Denmark. I moved back to join a collaboration called WIGLES, which is making the largest ever three-dimensional map of the distribution of galaxies in the universe.
What colour?
What colour? What colour of WIGLES? Can we be purple? Is there purple? So the WIGLES survey is now, we finished our observations, and the really cool thing about the distribution of galaxies is it's not random. And the pattern that we see in the distribution of galaxies is actually the same pattern that we see in the cosmic microwave background, which is the really, really early radiation from the Big Bang. So by comparing those two patterns, we can use it like a standard ruler and measure the expansion of the universe.
How did you react when you heard that Brian Schmidt, one of your mates, got the Nobel Prize?
I first dashed to the computer and checked whether it was true. Then I stood up and I danced around the room, literally singing and yelping. And then it was early in the morning, and I looked at the phone and I said, okay, he's never going to answer, but I'm going to have to give him a call. I phoned him and someone else intercepted the call. And they said, he can't speak right now, he's about to go in an interview. And then they said, I said, don't worry, I'm just a colleague, I was just going to congratulate him. He said, he's got 30 seconds, here you go. And I was like, Brian, no way, that's amazing. And after 30 seconds of enthusiasm, that was all the time we had.
And it'll give you an extra sort of little flip when you meet bewildered crowds around Australia.
Yeah, so I get lots of questions about the Nobel Prizes now. I've been giving some talks this week, and the Nobel Prize is obviously a hot topic of conversation, and particularly because I've already got pictures of the Nobel Prize winners in the talk that I was planning to give, and it's all about the kind of research that they do. So it's fantastic. Mm. Good timing.
Well, that was the Australian Institute of Physics Women in Science lecturer for this year, Dr. Tamara Davis from the University of Queensland, where she's a future fellow, the dark side.